Amen. You may be seated. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Oh, I'm going to ask you again. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Hey, youth, are you ready for the Word of God here today? They're ready. Amen. So let's receive it. Amen. And we're going to prepare our hearts. We are going to receive communion here in the service today. And so obviously, you know, I'm going to be preaching a shorter message. And some of you said, oh, I don't know about that. Well, we'll see. Amen. We're not taking any bets on the over, under, or anything like that. But I'm just going to share a few things. And I'm going to share some things in line with what we shared at the youth camp this past week. The theme, and you'll notice all these bright, wonderful teal t-shirts, they say the peace of God, because that was the theme at the youth camp this week, to walk in the peace of God. I got to minister at the very last service, you know, of the week, and I'm going to share some of those things that I shared. So some of this youth groupers are going to, it's going to sound a little familiar to you, but then I'm going to tie it all in and how it applies to our lives and how it applies to us and what communion is really about. Amen. Are you ready? Turn with me in your Bible. Go to John chapter 3 in a verse maybe that you've heard before, verse 16. How many of you could quote John 3:16 in your sleep, right? We're very familiar with this verse. But you know what? So many times we forget about the five verses that come after it. And today we're going to make sure to read the passage all the way to the end of the chapter. And these are the very words of Jesus. We're going to get into this. The theme, like I said, at youth camp this week was the peace of God. And you know, as a pastor, I've seen many people, even Christians, sometimes especially Christians, that are not living in the full peace of God that He provided for them. And of course, we've all had times in our life where we've gotten outside the peace of God. We've all had times where, you know, we have doubted or we fell into worry or we allowed those things to try to get up on us or we fell into them or whatever. The good news is, just because you fell into that doesn't mean you have to stay there. Amen. You can get into the peace of God. But as a pastor, I would say this, the number one reason why people are not living in the peace of God, whether Christians or unbelievers, the number one reason why people fail to live in the peace of God is because they're either running from God or they're hiding from God. Now, you're sitting here thinking, well, Pastor, I'm in church here today. I'm not hiding from God. I'm not running from God. We have many Christians that are here, and no doubt so many of you, you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you're thinking, well, there's no way I could be hiding from God. You know, I'm saved, you know, I'm heaven bound. Well, know this, you can be fully born again. You can be fully on your way to heaven someday, but there's aspects in your life that you're hiding from God. Or running from God, or holding back from God. We find ourselves at points where we are not fully surrendered, or we're not fully committed, or we find ourselves in one season where we are completely sold out to God. And then have you ever caught yourself drifting? You know, have you ever caught yourself drifting in your obedience to the Lord? And you're drifting in your commitment and your devotion. Next thing you know, we're not praying like we did. Next thing you know, we're not, you know, in the Bible. We're not meditating in the Word. Or there's aspects of the Bible that we're not obeying or whatever it is. Listen, you know, we all, if we're not careful, maybe there's 9 out of 10 things that, you know, you're obedient in. But maybe there's one thing that you just are holding back from God. Or just one thing you refuse to do. Well, in that aspect, that one thing could be an aspect of your life that you're running from God or you're not willing to confront it in your life. And that thing will allow that peace to be destroyed in your life. See, the reason why so many times people are not walking in the peace of God is because there's something they're holding back. There's something they're unwilling to do. There's something they know they should do, but they just don't do it. Or they refuse to do it. Or their pride doesn't allow them to do it. Are you here? And so we're going to look at what Jesus said. Look at John 3:16. Jesus himself is speaking. And notice he says, the verse that we're very familiar with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him." Now remember, Jesus is speaking about himself here. He's talking about himself in the third person. He said that God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus would be saved. Aren't you glad that God's provided everlasting life? Aren't you glad that God's provided an answer to death? Aren't you glad that God has given a way out of hell? Aren't you glad that eternal punishment does not have to be something that you've got to be worried about? If you'll believe, if you'll commit your life to Christ, if you'll obey God, amen. Verse 18, he says, he that believes on him is not condemned. Aren't you glad? But he that believes not upon Jesus is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men decided to love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In verse 20, he says, for everyone that does evil hates the light. Oh, everyone that does evil hates the light. Why? Neither do they come to the light, even though they're invited. You're invited to the light. God isn't keeping you out of the light. He's saying, get into it, right? But it tells us why they hate the light, lest their deeds should be reproved or exposed or manifested. People hide things and they hide from the light. They hide from God because they don't want to be seen. They don't want God to know, but here's the thing. He already knows. Today, I'm going to call this message like I called it Tuesday. Don't play hide and seek with God. Don't play hide and seek with God. And look at verse 21. Jesus ends the chapter. Jesus says, but he that does the truth. Everyone say truth. I don't know about you. I'm deciding I'm going to be verse 21 instead of verse 20. I'm going to be the person described in this verse. He that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or corrected or changed in God. Amen. Now we're going to get what we need here today, and then we're going to prepare our hearts to receive communion. Go back to verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 17, and then we are going to look at some verses and connect these verses to communion verses and why communion matters. Amen. Look at verse 17. Jesus speaking, Jesus says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He says, but he sent Jesus that the world through him would be saved. Now, the word saved there, it means to be rescued. All right? Every single human being on this earth needs to be rescued, whether they know it or not. But notice, he says, God did not send Jesus in the world to condemn the world. That word condemn is an interesting word. It means literally to have a death sentence. All right? You know, and we're going to see this here in the very next verse here in just a few moments. But the truth is that every human being on this earth, when they're born into sin and they sin against God, the Bible says that every single human being has a spiritual death sentence placed upon them. But Jesus did not come to put that death sentence on you. He came to lift that death sentence from you. Jesus did not come to put you down or to send you to hell. Jesus came so you didn't have to go to hell, so that you could go to heaven. Amen. He didn't come to put you under. He came to put you over. He didn't come to hurt you. He came to help you. He didn't come to make your life hard. He came to make your life victorious. Amen. He did not come to make your life worse. He came to make your life better. Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life, and I'm telling you what, that's far beyond financial. You know what I mean? It's far. Joy is the abundant life. Peace is the abundant life. The ability to stand in a troubled world and not worry, that's the abundant life. You know, the ability to stand and be stable. You know, when everything seems to be going tough and you still have your faith in God, I'll tell you what, that's the abundant life. When the whole world is panicked and worried and you're not because you have a revelation of who sits on the throne of God, that's the abundant life. Amen. And yes, it is full provision. It is God bringing full joy in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God did not send Jesus in this world, you know, to make your life hard, to make your life worse, to put you down. Here's one of the greatest lies that the devil has ever told. And we have all at some point been subject to this lie or been tempted by this lie at some point in our life. And the biggest lie the devil ever told, especially to a Christian or to somebody who was seeking out God, is this, that if you follow Jesus, it's just too hard to do. You know, if you follow Jesus in the plan of God, there's just no way, it's just too hard to do all the things that are written in the Bible. The devil's lying. You know, the devil will tell you that if you serve, if you commit and devote your life fully to the Lord, life will be hard. You know, it'll be no fun. You'll have no friends. You're right. You won't just have friends. You'll have family. Amen. You'll be called into the family of God. Amen. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen somebody who just, you know, they believe, no, I can't do that. If I follow God, I'll have no fun. You know, I won't get to do what I want to do. See, it is deception to believe that you can make your life better than the Lord can make your life better. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's the biggest lie that hell ever told was to tell people that life is hard if you follow Jesus. No, I'm here to tell you life is hard if you don't follow Jesus. Life is worse without him. Amen. I'll tell you what, life gets hard when you don't know or walk in the avenue of grace that God has provided for you. Amen. People will look at the things of the Word of God and they'll say, ah, no, that'll just take something from me. They'll say, I can't go to church. It takes my time. I don't want to use part of my day off. No, God didn't command you to go to church to take something from you. He was trying to get something to you. He was trying to prepare you in the local church for the tests of this life that are coming up that you can only pass through his strength, through his help, through the knowledge of the Word of God. There are tests in your future that here at church, we're going to get you ready for it. So that when you go to that test, it's an open book test. And you don't have to worry yourself through it. Amen. You know, people say, nah, I don't want to be a tither. You know, if I tithe, it's going to take my money. It's going to take something from me. God didn't tell you to tithe so he could steal something of yours. He was trying to open an avenue of grace for him to move into your life. God didn't command you to forgive that person who wronged you because he was trying to, you know, hurt you or make you feel embarrassed or make you uncomfortable. He was trying to open an avenue of grace because he said, if you can't forgive others, how will God forgive you? Amen. He's given us an opportunity. You know the commandments of the word. You know, when he tells us to lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, that's not him trying to force us to do something. He's letting us know that praise and worship will open up God's grace in your life. When God tells you, puts it on your heart to give to somebody, he's trying to open up an avenue of grace in your life. Are you here? God didn't tell you to pray so it would ruin your day. He didn't tell you to pray so you would lose time. He told you to pray so it would redeem your time. Amen. He didn't tell you to meditate in the Word of God and to study the Word of God so it would just, you know, be a bore or a you know what I'm saying? So that it'd be some kind of, you know, boring ritual or something. He put the Word of God in your life so it would give you health and peace and joy. Jesus said God didn't send the Son of God into the world to condemn you, to hurt you, or to make your life harder. He sent the Son of God to rescue you, to give you freedom, to give you joy and a peace that you can accomplish on your own. Amen. Glory to God. Stop letting the devil tell you a lie that if you fully commit and start going to church every week and start reading your Bible and start obeying the word, that that's going to be the challenge. The challenge will be when you haven't done those things. The challenge is that when you step up to things in your life that are trying to destroy you and all of a sudden there's no grace with you. You don't want to find yourself facing this world without the help of God's grace. God's just trying to give us an opportunity. Jesus, you know, is saying here, don't hide from the light. Come into the light. People have a lack of peace because they don't go into the light. or they hide something from God, or they're running from God or holding back from God, thinking that they're trying to preserve themselves. No, you're putting yourself at greater danger. Amen. Look at the very next verse. Look what Jesus said in verse 18. Jesus speaking, he said, "He that believes on him is not condemned." How many of you are glad that you are not condemned? It says, "But he that believes not upon Christ is condemned already." Notice people without Jesus, they don't even realize that they're living on spiritual death row. There's a death sentence upon their shoulders. How could anybody have peace with a death sentence upon their shoulders? But we are the ones that the death sentence has been lifted from. The blood of Jesus Christ and your faith in the resurrection lifts that death sentence off your life. There is no greater peace than knowing that you have eternal life. Are you here today? Youth groupers, are you here today? Yes, you are. We got to remember that there is no peace. Apart from, see, if there's something we're hiding from God, that means we're okay or comfortable with that little piece of darkness in our life. So many times Christians don't realize that they're actually holding on to pieces of darkness. There's things that they just don't want to do for God. They don't want to give up. They don't, you know, they don't want to obey fully. And they're trying to hold on to that little piece of darkness. You know, when a Christian says, "Well, I'm born again, but I just don't believe, I don't have to do anything with the church." Well, the Bible says, you know, in the book of John, 1 John, actually, and all over the place, it says that if you love God, if the love of God is in you, then you will love his people. You will love the people. It says, by this is how we know that we are in him. This is how we know that we are truly saved. We love the people of God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. But so many times people say, "Oh, no, I don't have to do that. Oh, I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be a giver. I don't want to, you know, serve in the local church. I don't want to do all that." Well, I'm here to tell you, those things won't ruin your life. They'll open a door of his blessing in your life. Amen. Because life is only good when you're in the center of God's will for your life. Amen. We are the ones that should be living in peace because the death sentence has been lifted off of us. How many of you have had the death sentence lifted off of your shoulders? You are not sentenced to eternal death. You don't have to worry about eternal punishment. Hell is not your home. Heaven is your home. Amen. Amen. Say, "Pastor, seriously, you talk to youth groupers about heaven and hell?" I will talk to anybody about heaven and hell. I tell you what, there's just something that the Lord always just keeps bringing into my life. Tell them about heaven and hell. Tell them about heaven and hell. Because both are real. And you can't have one without the other. You've got to know and understand what you've been rescued from if you're truly going to be grateful and walk in that peace. I'll tell you what, no matter what is going on in this life, if you're a Christian, you can go back in your heart and say, "I know this. Heaven is my home. Hell is not going to touch me." Glory to God. Are you here today? It says, "But those that believe not upon Christ are condemned already." They're walking around with a death sentence upon their shoulders. And it says they have a death sentence because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what condemns people. That's what sends somebody to hell because they fail to use their faith for Christ. Look at verse 19. Here we go. And now Jesus says, and this is the condemnation. He said, this is why people have a death sentence. He says, because light has come into the world. And of course, light is available to them. But people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I've told this story several times. I told it Tuesday night at the youth camp. I won't go into a very long version of it. But long story short, there was a friend of mine from high school that contacted me several years after school. We hadn't, you know, hadn't communicated in years, but he and I were good friends in school. And he got a hold of me when, I don't know, I was probably in my mid-20s or so. And this young man got a hold of me and said, called me literally in the middle of the night. And my cell phone was ringing. And it was back in the days of those big flip phones. How many of you remember those military-style flip phones? I mean, it was like you were calling in an airstrike. Red Lima 6, Red Lima 6, no. I mean, it just felt like a military device. You know, and my phone rings in the middle of the night. I recognize his voice. You know, he said, "Hey, Tim, this is so-and-so. You know, I'm living in New York City. I've heard you've given your life to the Lord. I've heard you're a different person now," because he knew me before Jesus. And he said, "Would you come down to New York City and tell me about Jesus?" I said, "I'll do you better than that. I'll come and stay with you for a few days. I'll take you to church. I'll tell you all about the gospel." And so we spent 2 or 3 days walking around New York City, and the whole time I was just telling him about Jesus. I was telling him about how to be saved. I was giving him multiple opportunities. And then on the Sunday morning, I took him to this really awesome church in Manhattan. People were praising and worshiping. The word was strong. He loved it. He came out of that church. He's like, "Man, that is awesome. This is what I need." And so I had to leave that evening. I was taking a train out of Penn Station, and he went over and sat with me in Grand Central Station. And I said, "All right." I said, "Are you ready to receive the Lord? Are you ready to pray and accept Jesus into your life?" He said, "No, I don't want to." And I said, "What?" I said, "Man." I said, "You don't want it?" He says, "No, I don't want to." He said, "Tim, I know everything you're telling me is the truth." He said, "I believe everything in the Bible is true. I believe that, you know, everything you're telling me is spot on." You know, he didn't disagree with that. He said, "But I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to follow Jesus." And I haven't talked to him in many years now again, so I hope things have changed. But he said, "I don't want to follow Jesus." I said, "Why wouldn't you want to follow Jesus?" And he said, "There's 2 things in my life. I'll tell you why." He said, "I don't want to give up my booze, and I don't want to give up pornography." And I said, "Brother, first of all, except you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You take him into your heart. And as you follow him, those things are going to leave your life. Those things will be, you'll be delivered from that desire." Listen, you don't have to, you know, we don't call the plumber after we fix up the pipe. You know what I mean? I told him that. I said, "Brother, we don't have a leaky pipe in the house. Fix it and then call the plumber. If you're thinking that you've got to fix up everything just right in your life before you call upon Jesus, that's wrong. Call upon him because he's the truth. Call on him because he's the way. Call upon him because he will forgive and cleanse you of your sin." And I said, "Brother, as you meditate the word, as you, you know, get taught the Bible, you know, those things will get out of your life." He said, "I know, but I don't want them out of my life." He said, "I enjoy that. My friend is found right there, I hope no longer," because I did write down the salvation prayer for him. I said, "Brother, pray this with your heart." Yes. I said, "You saw the power of God meet you in that church service. You knew. You even told me this is exactly what you need." He says, "I know it is, but I'm not giving up those 2 things. And I remember telling him, I said, "Are you telling me that booze and pornography is worth more to you than eternal life?" He said, "I know it sounds stupid, but yeah, that's what I'm telling you." See, my friend was found right here in John 3:19. Jesus said, this is why people keep their death sentence. This is why people lose their peace. This is why people, because they hide from God, because they would rather love darkness than the light, and because their deeds are evil, and they don't want to admit that. They don't want to change. They don't want to seek the plan of God. Look at verse 20. Jesus says, "For everyone that does evil hates the light." Wow. I don't know about you. I don't want to be the doer of evil. But there was a time in my life when I was verse 20. There was a time in my life when I was verse 19 and 20. We all have had times. Maybe there's someone here today that you are living right in the midst of verse 20. I'm here to tell you, get out of verse 20. "For everyone that does evil hates the light." See, when we're doing wrong, what is our tendency? Our natural tendency is to hide from God, hide from the light, hold back, feel guilty, feel shamed. I'm here to tell you, Jesus shed his blood on that cross so you don't have to be ashamed anymore. Glory to God. It says, "Everyone that does evil hates the light, and they will not come to the light." Notice God told us, you come to the light. Notice God isn't going to drag you into the light. God is not going to force you there. He's not going to, you know, just randomly select you to be thrown into the light. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you know the invitation is given by God, but we've got to take him up on that invitation? Amen. Come to the light. They don't want to come there lest their deeds should be exposed and corrected. But here's the thing, you know, verse 20, you can either be the person in verse 20 or you could be the person in verse 21. The person in verse 20 is what I call the hider. They're hiding from God. They're holding back from God. They don't want to confront the darkness in their life. They don't want to do anything different. They don't want to make a change. They don't want to admit it. Their pride is keeping them in the dark. Their pride, you know. But look at verse 21. Don't be the hider. I'll tell you what, you don't want to play hide and seek with God because he already knows. He knows where you are. He's knowing what you're doing, and he's saying, listen, I know your deeds are evil. He said, I know you, you know, sometimes you have darkness in your life. He said, I know that, but I still want you to come into the light because it is in that light that you're going to be forgiven. It is in that light that you're going to grow and be changed. In that light is where that burden is going to be lifted off your shoulder. You cannot have peace if you're hiding from God. You cannot have peace if you're running from God. You cannot have peace if you're, you know, okay with areas of darkness in your life. You know, if you're hiding things from your spouse, I'm here to tell you, peace is going to be tough to have. If you're hiding things from your boss, if you're, you know, refusing to obey the word and you know you're supposed to be doing something, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very difficult to have the peace of God. Look at verse 21 here. It says, but he that does the truth. Is there anybody in here that you want to do the truth? I want to be a person of the truth. This is what people do, and they will have great peace because of it. He that does the truth or acts upon the truth, they will come to the light freely on their own. Yeah, you can play hide and seek with God, and you'll lose your peace because it's no fun knowing that someone's looking for you. You know what I mean? You ever seen these criminals on TV? You ever seen these cop videos and these people are running from the law and they've got warrants for their arrest? You ever seen these shows? And they're always looking over their shoulder. They never have any rest. They never have any joy because you can't have joy when you're on the run. You know, well, someday, you know, God will, you know, catch up to you. But I've got, you know, good news. The person in verse 21, they're not waiting for God to catch them. They catch themselves. Yes. And that's what today is about. Having the peace that comes through personal responsibility, through confronting your own self and going into the light of God. He that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest or fully known. God even says, he's like, listen, I know your works already. He said, but I want you to come into the light, you know, and be that person that is okay with full transparency. Listen, a lot of times Christians, they don't understand. They're holding something back. And I use the typical examples. They'll be creating strife or they're fighting in their marriage and they've got all this going on. They know they need to fix that. They know they need to seek forgiveness from their spouse. They know they need to take responsibility for their part, but they just won't do it because their pride won't let them. You're holding on to that darkness. But a person who does the truth goes to God and acknowledges every bit of it, confesses it all, and says, Lord, teach me. Like David said in Psalm 139, Lord, if there's any darkness in me, any evil way in me, he said, reveal it to me and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you getting something out of this? Folks, I know this seems difficult to do, but if you'll do it when you need to. Listen, maybe there's people in here, you know, right now, you're not holding on to any darkness. Praise God for that. But maybe there's some of us that we've got even things, even as Christians, there's things that we're holding back or we refuse to do. You know, sometimes it's go to church. People will refuse that. Boy, it gets quiet in here. You should be rejoicing. You're here today. Hey, smile bright. You know, say amen and rejoice that you're in church. Praise the Lord. We're preaching to the choir. But sometimes people say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of a local church. Well, that's God's plan for your life. Amen. And you hold that back from God. It'll just steal your peace. Oh, the Bible says to be a tither. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to hold that back. See, that becomes your comfort with that level of darkness. Oh, I know I should, you know, I know I need to deal with this. I need to forgive that person that hurt me. I need to deal with my marriage. I need to deal with this. I need to deal with addictions in my life. Are you here? Listen, God is not keeping you out. He's saying, bring everything that is ugly to his sight and come into the light and bring your marriage and just let it be seen fully for what it is before God. There is no help, there is no peace and no joy until we take full responsibility for everything. Are you here? Oh, have you ever caught yourself being a jerk? You know, not walking in the love of God. And maybe you fall into a season like that and you know it's just time to come into the light. Take your marriage, bring it into the light and own the failures. Own whatever it is that you know you've been doing. If your finances are something you're disobeying God with or you know your church attendance or whatever it is, bring it into the light and say, Lord, here it is. Maybe it's your worry. Maybe people say, well, worry isn't a sin. Yes, it is. Bring it into the light and deal with it. Right. Say, well, Pastor, if I deal with it once, you know, then I'll never have to deal with it again. Oh, you'll have to deal with it again. You'll have to deal with it again. You know, bring it into the light. If you've been mistreating your spouse, listen, it matters because our kids need to see people that are tender-hearted. Your children need to see you, you know, admitting when they're wrong. Your kids need to see you, you know, go before God and take full responsibility. Are you here? Your kids need to see you forgiving somebody. Your kids need to see you in church. Your kids need to see you praising and worshiping. Your kids need to see you being, you know, generous to people. Amen. Are you here today? Why does this matter? Because this is the essence of communion. Amen. We're going to share communion here in just a few moments. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read these verses before we get ready to share communion. Why does it matter? Because the word communion, it means to be in fellowship with God. I'm in fellowship. See, if you are okay with aspects of darkness in your life, you know, my friend, he refused to come to Christ because he'd rather have his darkness. See, that means that his fellowship with God remains broken. If we're okay with certain aspects of darkness in our life, then that fellowship with God is hindered. This is why the scripture tells us about communion. It's about restoring fellowship. Or it's about declaring fellowship with God. Go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 23. We'll just read this passage. This is Paul the Apostle, and he's quoting Jesus here. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." This is 1 Corinthians 11:23. And it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" It says, "After the same manner, also, Jesus took the cup after he had eaten, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood.' He said, 'This you do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' He says, 'For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.'" Isn't that interesting? You show the Lord's death. What does that mean? Of course we believe that Jesus died on that cross, and yes, we believe he rose again. But what does it mean to show the Lord's death? It means to live a crucified life. Jesus' death was his complete humility before God and his willingness to do anything and everything for God. When I eat that bread and when I drink that cup, I show the Lord's death. Meaning his complete submission. That's literally what that's talking about. You say, well, Pastor, oh my goodness. Yeah, it is a serious thing. You say, well, Pastor, I just wanted to do a religious ritual here today and ease my conscience. God's not interested in just easing your conscience. God is interested in fellowship with you. God's interested in your heart being in the light and nothing hindering your relationship with him. Look at verse 27. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But see, this is why we have verse 28, and this is what we've been talking about. Here it is. But let a person examine themselves, and then let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What do we do when we examine ourselves? We bring it to the light. We bring it to the light. The reason why, notice he didn't say, you know, to judge the person sitting next to you. He didn't say to work on their problems or their faults or point out all their failures. Are you here today? God says, before you receive communion, work on yourself. He said, before you receive communion, if there's aspects of darkness in your life, listen, God is not saying that those things will keep you out. He says, come into the light with your baggage and everything. Bring everything that's ugly before his sight and confess it before him. Because you're carrying things that are stealing your joy, robbing your peace. It isn't worth it. The Bible says to run our race and to cast off the sins and the weights that easily beset us. Right? So today when we receive communion, it's about examining our lives. Listen, you don't have to invent, you know, failures. You know, you don't have to, well, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to make up things that I haven't done. No, if you know in your heart things that you need to deal with, say, well, Pastor, I don't want to talk to God about that. He knows already. He's in the light. He knows already. But right now, he sees you in that darkness. You're in that shadow. And he's trying to say, no. By telling him about it, moves you into that light. Destroys that burden. That's what communion is. It's restoring fellowship. It's coming before God and say, Father, I want to be a person that does truth. Yes. Listen. If you're perfect, raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I saw some of you just out of hand, like, well, I got to do it. The pastor said it. I saw some of you, they started like, ooh, ooh. You know, no. Listen, this is the heart. How many of you know King David was far from perfect? But God looked at him and said, you know what? I'm going to put him at the right hand of Christ in the millennial kingdom. It wasn't because David did everything just right. It's because David was very quick to bring things into the light. No, you don't look at that and say, well, okay, I'm going to go do some darkness and go and do that. Then I'll bring it to the light. No. That's called frustrating the grace of God. You don't want to do that. The Bible warns about that. God is smarter. You can't trick him. Right, don't think you can pull a fast one on God. But let today be the day you examine your heart